Sports Station. It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're keeping tabs on the Falcons who are practicing up in Indy, actually, at their practice facility. It's actually north, like Flowery Branch of Indianapolis. But joint practice number one. And I mentioned to you, according to our friends up there, Daniel Flick, Will McFadden, there's a bunch of people up there who cover the Falcons. I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but I'm just giving it to you as it's being reported. So Falcons first team offense, Mike, had a drive that went to a sack. Don't know where that came from, but again, we told you they're not touching them. But if he's holding the ball,
the refs, even if he's able to extend the play, they'll blow the whistle. They'll know, and they've used NFL officials for these scrimmages. So, in other words, he would have been perceived to be sacked.
Bijan, carry, tackle for loss.
Okay. Well, all right. It's always darkest for the dawn. What happened on the third down? Obviously, we bounce back. Tua makes a big play.
Tua fumbled a snap.
Has butterfingers.
He did what?
The next drive, he fumbled the snap. Next drive, all right, ended with Tua throwing a jump ball to Drake London, who went up and grabbed a 50-50 ball. But that's not uncommon. Drake does that. But you get highs and lows. And this is what you're going to expect. You're going to get some of this. I don't think at all you shouldn't expect it to be all be perfect. But this is the work we need to get, man. And so not – at least the first drive. Not what you would want to see. I would want to see Tua completion, Mike. Bijan carries for 10 yards, right, and then a touchdown throw. That's what you're hoping. But, again, these are real – this is situational football. So you're getting – their defense is getting work. Our offense is getting work. But it gets back to the offensive line. And look, forget about the Tua fumbled snap. I don't know what the hell is going on there. But, man, if we're not able to protect, this is going to be a problem. And it doesn't matter who's going to be back there. So it's funny, Day-Day said to me in the break, Mike, he said, look, very serious voice, Penix has got to get cleared after this week. And I said, this is the only way that I think as the team and the organization, you could feel good about moving into the season. What is it, 3 weeks after this weekend? That you could feel good about, hey, we're giving him an opportunity to go ahead. And you'd probably see him in that third preseason game also. But he's got to get cleared.
Yeah, I posted a video that was reposted from up there at Indianapolis. I said, please, doctors, can we clear this guy? Because, you know, and this is something, you know, when we go off and I'm arguing with some folks about, you know, Penix and what he is or what he isn't. We have never, ever this summer said he doesn't look ready. I mean, he's looked ready.
I said it to his face.
Yes. And we actually had an interview where we were like his two hype men trying to pump him up to say something declarative, like, yes, it's my job, I'll be back out there. And we couldn't get that to happen. But Penix to Drummond, D-Led posted that. Thanks, Mike and Carl. One-on-ones. But he threads, I mean, he just drops a dime. The stuff that you saw at Washington that made you say, okay, I'm excited about him getting drafted by the Falcons. So can't wait till we get him cleared. Some good and some bad, but in the 7-on-7, he's putting the ball where it needs to be.
All right, and remember, he's not playing 11-on-11, so he's doing what he needs to do in those drills. More on the Falcons coming up. Also, we'll find out what Mike has in Guy Talk a little bit later on this hour. And Grant's going to join us as the Braves are finishing up their series as we speak, and we'll talk more about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we got to talk some dogs.
Tua Tagovailoa
has butterfingers.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Look, you might not make the read. You might not get the right throw. You cannot fumble snaps. And that, look, Day-Day, you said it. That was what was so frustrating in preseason game number one, where that happens in that first year, and you're like, oh, come on. Those are just fundamental, simple things. Either way. All right.
And this is a team that gave up the 23rd most yards last year. The Colts defense. So, I mean, you know, there's some things they do well. Like us, I mean, sometimes it doesn't tell the whole side of the story. Ulbrich's guys, we got after the quarterback, but you said it. We couldn't stop the run. Yep. And how much better are we going to be on that this year?
All right. Switching gears, guys. We talked to our buddy Connor Riley yesterday. Tomorrow, by the way, Mike Griffith will join us to keep us updated on what's going on with the Dogs, and we're getting ready for the upcoming season. Kirby, today, speaking to the media, I want you to hear what he said about Gunnar Stockton. And apparently, Mike, he's very pleased with what he's seeing.
Yeah, Gunner's improved immensely. I don't think it's in one area. I don't think it's I think it's confidence. I think it's his basically his mental capacity to handle a lot of information at once, process that information, and yet still make good decisions. Confidence in the pocket, his movement skills in the pocket have improved. His awareness of protections have improved. His ability to handle the pressure of the shot clock, a nine-word call, the defenses we're throwing at him, and getting people lined up has improved. But he's done some good things this camp. You can see his growth kind of in a lot of areas, because some of it's leadership, some of it's mentorship, and some of it's just throwing ability and getting the ball downfield. So pleased with Gunner's growth and really pleased with his work ethic.
Something you and I have talked about a lot of this year is him, you know, as you like to say, pull, let it rip.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to, you know, okay. Like, I'm not saying go Carson Beck where you're like, bah! You know, like he did in those Alabama games, but you've got to be able to have the confidence to go downfield and use your weapons. And Bobo's got to instill that confidence in him. And that's something I think you take if you read between the lines with Kirby, that maybe that is coming, where if they're going to win, he's going to have to make some high risk throws. Yeah. He's going to have to throw to some tight windows.
I think.
Which you know we can do.
Oh, yeah. I think Bobo has said, and other assistant coaches have talked about this over the last few weeks since the Dogs got on the field. Bobo's intent is to be more aggressive this year. So when I say that, more aggressive play calling, is the execution going to be there? That I don't know. But this is the part, Mike, where, you know, Gunner is back to pass. The play has been called, and it's a throw downfield, but it's not executed. And then Dog fans go, why isn't he throwing it downfield? There's an execution part of this. So I hope that Bobo, and we're talking about Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator, is going to be more aggressive. I think that's a big part. You got to challenge these defenses, man, and you cannot be timid.
Right.
And in the way that you approach some of these defenses, you can respect them, but man, I think you got to try to take the top off of some of these defenses.
But again, you know, when it mattered most, and the Sugar Bowls the last 2 years down there, does Kirby meddle with the offense? Is it Bobo's with autonomy? I mean, we talked to Rusty Manziel about this. Connor, I mean, there's nothing gets done without Kirby's approval. And, you know, the idea to be aggressive in against Notre Dame when it called go the other way in Gunner's second start or first start, second appearance. And then
you say Kirby signed off on that?
I think Kirby signs off on that.
Yeah.
I get I can't. Kirby is involved in every aspect. That's what we've been told, led to believe. I believe it. But last year, you know, a 9-point lead, really having a chance to really go for the jugular against Ole Miss, and you decided to play conservative. So I don't think that comes from Bobo. You know, because Bobo, we always yell, Bobo, run the damn ball. To me, that comes from Kirby Smart.
It's a good point. Meanwhile, his son, Drew Bobo, is a really good center, guys. And this is a different team without him. The initial reports was a finger injury at practice. And Kirby said, here's the update.
He practiced yesterday all day, took every rep. So he's great.
He's great. Okay, so maybe that was an over-exaggeration. Kirby's like, no big deal. Drew Bobo's finger, not a problem. He also talked about Cole Spear. Mike, we brought this up. Is he back with the team? Is he not back with the team?
Well, Kirby Smart was asked about this because of the NCAA, and they're fighting this, by the way, in court when they had that other court that ruled that 2022 class signees were granted a fifth year of eligibility. That's an injunction in Colorado, and the NCAA is appealing it. So Kirby says that he wouldn't want to make any assumptions right now with the NCAA, but this guy was a big special team player, blocked a punt in last year's SEC championship game, and they're having conversations. Rusty Manziel first reported this, by the way.
Yes, he did.
That Spear was back in the mix with the UGA.
Here's Kirby's comments today after being asked about Cole Spear.
Well, there's a lot of assumptions in what you just said. So I wouldn't make any assumptions right now with the NCAA and the rulings and the things going on. So he is not officially back with the team. We've had conversations with he and a lot of guys, but nothing's official yet.
Okay.
105 limit for players, but that may change too with these. If the NCAA doesn't get the ruling they're looking for, you'll have to make room for these guys that have the eligibility, I presume.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, can he help them? Obviously, they think he can.
Special teamer.
Yes. Yeah, you know. So, I mean, that's part of this discussion. But again, we'll see. Kirby's like, don't jump the gun. And what about the wide receiver room? Look, it's one thing for Gunner Stockton to be making these throws down the field. It's one of my big question marks going into the season. First of all, can't lead the league in drops, okay? That happened a couple of years ago when Beck was quarterback. Also, you got to have guys that are explosive and can make plays down the field. Here's what Kirby's assessment is of the wide receiver room.
Yeah, they work tremendously hard each day. I think they've had a good camp. It's a group. The quarterbacks and the O-line a lot of times will make your receivers. So there's not – You know, receivers don't get to just go out and have success on their own. They have to have a lot of things happen to have the success they want to have. They have to take advantage of opportunities they give, and they have to go against good people in competition. But it's more than just them in order to have a success. But if you said, am I pleased with their work habits and what they're doing? Absolutely, I am. I wouldn't say anybody in the room is dominating by any means. There's young players that are coming on fast, and by young, I mean first and second year, and then there's older players who are leading well and doing a tremendous job for us. So very pleased in that room.
All right. Okay. Isaiah Canyon came over from Tech. Yep. We all talked about the tight ends. Who was it? Mike Griffith really likes Jaden Riddell backing up Lawson Lucky at tight end.
Yep.
But are you going to get the playmakers? Because you could argue that just strictly looking at what you lost with Zachariah Branch and some of the other guys who moved on, he's saying no one's really has taken it to where he's, okay, this guy's wowing. Would he even say it they were?
No, I don't know if he would.
I don't know if he would.
Would he even give you that info?
The tight end room is supposed to be good. We know that.
Right.
It's the guys on the outside. The difference makers, right? I mean, Lucky Lawson, he should have a great season. The tight end room should be good. But I don't know, Mike, you bring up a great point. I don't know if he would say, oh, my God.
Right. Kirby's going to say, guys, we just, like the old Jim Donnan, you know, two words, man, Charles Grant. Now, Kirby's never going to do that. He's never that day-to-day. He's never going to do that. And you talked earlier about the money. You know, we're talking about the perception is, you know, Georgia is getting somehow, like they're in the right lane, and everybody's just foom, foom, foom down the college interstate, right, going for the big money. But they're spending, Carl, just under the top tier. Should that bother Georgia fans and not in the top tier?
No.
He runs it how he runs it, $40 million plus. Recent article by Chris Hummer and John Talty saying that there's a level, and there's Texas money, and there's, you know, Oklahoma and Texas Tech, and then there's other schools like where Georgia is below that.
Yeah, I don't think you should frown upon that because you still got the best coach in college football. So, you know, I'm not saying Kirby's doing more with less. Let's not fool ourselves. They're loaded, okay? Go look at the five stars and the fours and all the talent that they brought in, and they're not even living in the portal. Right? He's still doing it in a way that a lot of coaches are not at this point. I think it's okay, Mike. I just, you know, it's like your budget. Do you spend smartly or do you just blow it? And that's how I think Kirby's going about it. There are some schools that are just spending and they're getting no dividends, no returns. Kirby's spending like this, but he's not overspending in areas and they're still getting return.
Right. And, you know, look, you had a big-time quarterback that had a tie to Nashville who decides to go to Vanderbilt. That upset some dog fans, but everyone likes Puglisi. I think, you know, the thing is Puglisi's going to have to wait his turn. Kirby definitely does have, there's the pecking order, and the guy who's got the experience is the guy. Not a knock on Gunner. We already talked about what he's capable of. But it just seems like you and I, and this is just us, style points, I don't know, but that superstar Heisman Trophy guy that everybody's after that is just like the rock star difference maker.
Yeah.
The guy that extends plays, the guy that can do it all.
Yeah, the Caleb Williams, the Jaden Daniels, you know, like those guys that were in school that, and I'm not saying they did go after Caleb Williams. I mean all this stuff came out, but they've not been able to close those deals. And that's what you're talking about.
They had Justin Fields, and it just, for whatever reason, it just never happened for him in Athens. Some of that was also in a very, I don't know, maybe not open-minded offensive mind at the time. But anyway, getting back to Georgia, they'll be fine. Schedule's not as of a beast as it has been in the past. Connor Riley brought that up the other day.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even think that maybe you reassess with the way this playoff works now, that Georgia, for some reason, has been slow out of the gate, coming off the bye or the extra extended time in December. You want to have a home game in Athens?
That means you probably
either didn't make or lost the SEC championship game.
Now, again, Kirby would say that's disappointing because his goal is to win it every year as long as it's they're playing it. But I'd love it. I think it may even give them an advantage that they haven't had in recent years.
And by the way, Tech fans, in case you're like, yes, I'm Georgia. Well, we did talk a lot of Tech last hour. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. We were talking about what they're doing. Not to mention, you know, good things being said about the quarterback from a coach who wish he still had him.
All right, guys, more to get to. A Falcon update coming for you. And some people are already picking us to lose in week one. I know we're the underdogs because we're on the road in Pittsburgh. But we'll get into that a little bit. And a scenario for all of you quarterback heads out there who are saying he has to be the starter. We'll lay it out for you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.